Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. For expert advice on love and relationships, call into the show at 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Or you can submit your question online at AskDrLove.com. Now, here's Dr. Love.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I want to welcome you once again to my show. In today's show, I'm talking about your love language. And just so you know, I'm not referring to talking dirty or pillow talk. What I'm talking about is the language of the heart, specifically the type of language that speaks to your heart. And for some, talk is cheap and actions are worth 1,000 words. For others, a simple I love you is all that's needed to set their hearts singing. So stay tuned to discover your love language, the master key to unlocking the door of your heart and your heartthrob's heart as well. And I want you to get a pad and pencil ready because we're going to do a couple of quizzes and you're going to want to track your results. Later in the show, I'm going to answer 3 questions that I selected. The first one's called Hard Truths. In this question, I help a married woman whose husband has stopped treating her passionately to the point that she doesn't feel loved by him. Meanwhile, an ex-lover is dogging her derriere, and she wants to know whether she should tell her hubby that she's craving love from him or that her ex is hot on her tail. Stay tuned as I give her a third option, splain her love language to her husband. The second question, breakup. I talked to a woman who just broke up with her boyfriend, whom she loves, because she's afraid her parents won't like him. But she herself is also worried that their different levels of education and the fact that he's jobless could be deal breakers for her. Despite their being in love and speaking the same love language, can their love stand a chance? Stay tuned to find out. And 3, in What Is He Trying to Say, I help out a girl who has fallen for a guy whose signals make no sense. One minute he's warm and complimentary, and the next he ignores her. So stick around as I help her decipher this dude's love language. And then, for my Reading Between the Sheets segment, where I tackle those tough sex problems, this one is, he thinks sex every 2 weeks is normal, and here I help out a woman whose boyfriend doesn't desire sex the way she does and often can't even obtain an erection. Meanwhile, he adores her, he sends her love letters, and treats her like gold. So is the problem here that her love language is physical touch, while his is words of affirmation? So stick around to find out how she can navigate this very hard, well, not exactly, problem. Now, let's get on to today's topic. The 5 love languages. Does lovey-dovey talk make your heart go pitter-patter? Or are you the type who would rather skip all the chatter because for you actions are what matter? Well, did you know that speaking your partner's preferred love language is the master key to unlocking your beloved's heart? And yours, too. So today I'm talking about what's called your love language. And the term love languages was coined by Dr. Larry Chapman, who after many years of counseling noticed a pattern that everyone has a love language, a primary way of expressing and interpreting love. Of the countless ways we can show love to one another, he found 5 key categories or 5 love languages proved to be universal and comprehensive. Everyone has a love language. And we all identify primarily with 1 of the 5 love languages. And these are words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Now, the 5 love languages helps couples identify practical and powerful ways to express love simply by using the appropriate love language. And many partners, husbands and wives, who spent years struggling through relationships and marriages they thought were loveless, discovered that 1 or both of the partners had been showing love through messages that weren't getting through. By recognizing your different love languages, you can actually witness the rebirth of the love you thought had been gone for good. So are you ready to say or do just the right thing to make that special someone feel loved? Today, I'm going to show you the powerful secret to learning the right love language to express your feelings and bring back joy into your relationship or marriage. Now, let me just give you a little more explanation about the five love language styles. The first, words of affirmation. Now, while actions don't always speak louder than words, if this is your love language, unsolicited compliments mean the world to you. Hearing the words, I love you, are important. Hearing the reasons behind that love sends your spirits skyward. So insults can leave you shattered and are not easily forgotten because words cut deep for you. Now, the second love language, quality time. In the vernacular of quality time, nothing says I love you like full, undivided attention. Being there for this type of person is critical, but really being there, with the TV off, the texting not present, fork and knife down, all the chores and tasks on standby, this makes your significant other feel truly special and loved. Distractions, postponed dates, or the failure to listen are especially hurtful. Now, the third love language is the receiving of gifts. Now, don't mistake this love language for materialism, because the receiver of gifts thrives on the love, thoughtfulness, and effort behind the gift. And if you speak this language, the perfect gift or gesture shows that you're known, you're cared for, and you're prized above whatever was sacrificed to bring the gift to you. And a missed birthday, a missed anniversary, or a hasty, thoughtless gift is disastrous, and so would be the absence of everyday gestures. Fourth love language, acts of service. Can vacuuming the floors really be an expression of love? Yes, absolutely. Anything you do to ease the burden of responsibilities weighing on an acts of service person will speak volumes. And the words he or she most want to hear are, let me do that for you. Laziness, broken commitments, and making more work for that person tells speakers of this language that their feelings don't matter. And last but not least, physical touch. This language isn't all about the bedroom. A person whose primary language is physical touch is, not surprisingly, very touchy. Hugs, pats on the back, holding hands, and thoughtful touches on the arm, shoulder, or face, they can be ways to show excitement, concern, care, and love. Physical presence and accessibility are crucial, while neglect or abuse can be unforgivable and destructive. Now, let's get out that paper and pencil that I was talking about a few minutes ago, and I want to take a little test that I've created, and it's going to help you identify your love language. And then after we test you, we're going to do the test again to help you identify the love language of your significant other. Now, what I want you to do is write down on the paper the heading for each category of love language. So the first one's going to be words of affirmation. So write that on the top of your paper. And then what I want you to do is just listen to the questions and write next to each question your answer, true or false. And there are going to be 13 questions for each of the five love languages. So you're going to have 13 truths or 13 falses or a combination of true false. Okay? So first, words of affirmation. Write it down so we know how much this category applies to you. Question one, sweet notes from my partner make me feel good. True or false? Two, I love to hear my partner say he or she loves me. True or false? Three, I feel especially loved when people express how grateful they are for me and for the simple everyday things I do. True or false? Four, I feel loved when my partner tells me that he or she is proud of me. True or false? Five, my partner tells me I look good and I like that. True or false? Six, supportive comments from my partner make me feel good. True or false? Seven, I love when my partner compliments my appearance. True or false? Eight, my partner's praise means a lot to me. True or false? Nine, my partner's reactions to my accomplishments are so encouraging. True or false? 10. It makes me feel really good when my partner tells me he or she appreciates me. True or false? 11. I love hearing my partner tell me that he or she missed me. True or false? 12. I never get tired of hearing my partner tell me that I am important to him or her. True or false? And 13. My partner's encouraging words give me confidence. True or false? Okay? Now, just count up now how many truths you have. And write down how many truths for these questions. Just put a little grand total. Now, put a heading called quality time. All right. And here's question one under quality time. I like to be alone with my partner, true or false. Two, I enjoy long trips with my partner, true or false. Three, I feel especially loved when a person gives me undivided attention and spends time alone with me, true or false. Four, just being around my partner makes me feel good, true or false. Five, I love that my partner listens to me and respects my ideas, true or false. Six, I like going most anywhere with my partner, true or false. Seven, I love my partner's undivided attention, true or false. Eight, spending time with my partner makes me happy, true or false. Nine, I love that my partner shows real interest in things I like to do, true or false. 10. It doesn't matter where we go, I just like going places with my partner, true or false. 11. I love to watch movies with my partner, true or false. 12. No matter what we do, I love doing things with my partner, true or false. 13. My partner doesn't interrupt me when I'm talking, and I like that, true or false. That's the end of this category. And this one is called quality time. Tally up your trues. And when I go to break, you can also do your tallying if you can't keep up with the tallying. The next category is receiving gifts. Make a heading for that. Question one, I feel especially loved by someone who brings me gifts and other tangible expressions of love, true or false. Two, receiving special gifts from my partner makes me happy, true or false. Three, I know my partner loves me because he or she surprises me with gifts, true or false. Four, I value the gifts my partner gives me, true or false. Five, it means a lot to me that my partner gives me gifts I really like, true or false. Six, I still get excited when opening a gift from my partner, true or false. Seven, even the smallest gift from my partner is important to me, true or false. Eight, I'm sometimes amazed at how thoughtful my partner's gifts to me are, true or false. Nine, I look forward to seeing what my partner gives me for my birthday, true or false. 10. My partner lets me know he or she loves me by giving me gifts, true or false. 11. I never get tired of receiving gifts from my partner, true or false. 12. I love surprise gifts from my partner, true or false. 13. I couldn't ask for any better gifts than the ones my partner gives me, true or false. All right. Now the next category is called acts of service. Make a heading for it. And here are the questions. One, I feel loved when my partner helps me with the laundry, true or false. Two, I feel loved when my partner washes my car. Three, my partner shows his or her love by helping me without me having to ask. Four, my partner is good about asking how he or she can help when I'm tired. Five, it means a lot to me when my partner helps me despite being busy. Six, I feel especially loved when someone pitches in to help me, perhaps by running errands or taking on my chores. Seven, I can count on my partner to help me with projects. Eight, when my partner helps clean up after me, I know that he or she loves me. Nine, little things my partner does for me mean more to me than things he or she says. 10, my partner sometimes runs errands for me, and I appreciate that. 11, I love that my partner helps clean the house. 12, my partner deserves an award for all the things he or she does to help me. 13, it means a lot to me when my partner helps with something I know he or she hates. Okay, now write a heading for physical touch. This is the last category. First question, I love to hug my partner. Again, true or false. Two, I love hugging and kissing my partner after we've been apart for a while. True or false. Three, I like for my partner to sit close to me. Four, I like to hold my partner's hand. Five, I love my partner's hugs. Six, I feel especially loved when a person expresses feelings for me through physical contact. Seven, I can't help but touch my partner when he or she's close by. Eight, I love cuddling with my partner. Nine, I like it when my partner touches me. 10, I feel loved when my partner puts his or her arm around me. 11, I never get tired of my partner's kisses. 12, I love it when my partner gives me a massage. 13, I love it that my partner can't keep his or her hands off me. Okay, now I'm going to take a brief break. During the break, just tally up all your trues in each category, and the highest number of trues indicate your primary love language. Okay, keep in mind that while one language may be dominant for you, you may have more than one love language. So do that while I'm taking a break, and I'll be back in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1996. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of free relationship advice articles on any relationship issue you may have. Or you can submit a question to her free advice column. However, if you're listening live, why not call in? Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you, and this is a unique chance to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. So, if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. Now back to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it's my pleasure to be with you today. I love talking to you about your love language. So we just finished a little quiz to help you identify your primary and maybe secondary love language. Now I want to switch gears, and I want you to test your partner. So here's where you have to put yourself inside your partner's skin and answer as though you were your partner. Okay, again, make a little heading, words of affirmation, so we know now how this category ranks for your partner. Now, here's the first question. It makes me feel really good when my partner tells me he or she appreciates me, true or false. 2, my partner's encouraging words give me confidence. 3, my partner's reactions to my accomplishments are so encouraging. 4, I love hearing my partner tell me that he or she believes in me. 5, I love for my partner to compliment my appearance. 6, I'll never get tired of hearing my partner tell me that I'm important to him or her. 7, my partner's love notes make me feel good. 8, I love to hear my partner say he or she loves me. 9, my partner tells me I look good and I like that. 10, I feel loved when my partner tells me he or she is proud of me. 11, my partner's praise means a lot to me. 12, supportive comments from my partner make me feel good. And 13, I love my partner's hugs. Okay, now write down the heading quality time. We're going to see how your partner stands on quality time as a primary love language. 1, my partner doesn't interrupt me when I'm talking and I like that. 2, I love to watch movies with my partner. 3, I love that my partner listens to my ideas and doesn't rush to judge or criticize. 4, no matter what we do, I love doing things with my partner. 5, I enjoy long trips with my partner. 6, I like to be alone with my partner. 7, I like going most anywhere with my partner. 8, just being around my partner makes me feel good. 9, I love that my partner shows real interest in things I like to do. 10, I love having my partner's undivided attention. 11, spending time with my partner makes me happy. 12, it doesn't matter where we go, I just like going places with my partner. And 13, I like that my partner shows real interest in the things I like to do. Okay, now make a heading for acts of service. Here we go. 1, it means a lot to me when my partner helps me despite having other things to do. 2, I feel loved when my partner helps me do yard work. 3, I feel loved when my partner does my laundry. 4, when my partner cooks a meal for me, I know that he or she loves me. 5, my partner sometimes runs errands for me and I appreciate that. 6, my partner deserves an award for all the things he or she does to help me. 7, my partner shows love by helping me catch up on projects around the house. 8, it means a lot to me when my partner helps with something I know he or she hates. 9, I can count on my partner to help me with projects. 10, keeping the house clean is an important act of service. 11, little things my partner does for me mean more to me than things he or she says. 12, my partner can tell when I'm tired and he or she is good at asking how he or she can help. 13, my partner shows his or her love by helping me without me having to ask. Okay, now make a heading for physical touch. 1, I just can't keep my hands off my partner. 2, I love having sex with my partner. 3, I love it when my partner rubs my back. 4, I love hugging and kissing my partner after we've been apart for a while. 5, I like it when my partner touches me. 6, I feel loved when my partner puts his or her arm around me. 7, I like to hold my partner's hand. 8, I like for my partner to sit close to me. 9, I love to hug my partner. 10, I never get tired of my partner's kisses. 11, I like it that my partner can't keep his or her hands off me. 12, I love it when my partner gives me a massage. And 13, I feel especially loved when a person expresses feelings for me through physical contact. Now, put a heading for receiving gifts. 1, I know my wife loves me because she surprises me with gifts. 2, receiving special gifts from my partner makes me happy. 3, I value the gifts my partner gives to me. 4, even the smallest gifts from my partner is important to me. 5, it means a lot to me that my partner gives me gifts I really like. 6, I still get excited when opening a gift from my partner. 7, I can't help but touch my partner when he or she's close by. 8, I'm sometimes amazed at how thoughtful my partner's gifts to me are. 9, I look forward to seeing what my partner gives me for my birthday. 10, my partner lets me know that he or she loves me by giving me gifts. 11, I never get tired of receiving gifts from my partner. 12, I love surprise gifts from my partner. And 13, I couldn't ask for any better gifts than the ones my partner gives to me. Now, what do these results tell you? After you tally up all your results, and you may need to do this, you know, after I go off air, and you can do that and tally up also your partner's results and see which category had the most truths and then the second most truths, and that'll tell you the primary and then the secondary love language. So what do these results tell you? First, you've discovered your own love language, which is vital for you to know, because that's going to enable you to more clearly communicate your needs to your partner and get your needs met. If you don't know what you want, how can you communicate it and get your needs met? But also, doing this test the second time, answering as your partner, has helped you clarify your mate's love language. Now, in answering as though you were your partner, ask yourself if you found that there were questions that you couldn't answer. Now, this means you don't know your partner and your partner's love language as well as you need to. So what you need to do is more inquiry to discover your beloved's love language. So use this test as your guide and start asking questions, and then put your newfound knowledge into practice. If you want, you can actually even have your partner, if he or she isn't listening now, listen to this show. It's archived on my website. Take the test and answer it for himself or herself, and then tell you what his love language is or her love language. Now, I want to talk more about the problem of differing love languages, because many couples have distressed relationships because they wrongly assume that their partner's love language matches their own. And this false assumption leads people to love their partners the way they themselves wish to be loved rather than the way their partners want to be loved. And it's very common for couples to not share the same love language. One likes words of affirmation, and for the other, acts of service is the swan song. Now, why does this matter? Because many couples get into difficulty because they live according to the golden rule: do unto your partner as you would have him or her do unto you. Now, in the case of relationships, couples who give to their partners what they secretly crave, hoping that their partners are going to get the hint and give back the same gift in kind, get themselves into deep poop. For example, a woman loves words, and so she showers her partner with love talk. And if this isn't your partner's love language, your partner's going to cringe and is not going to get the hint that you want the talk. Now, my friend Anne, clearly her love language is acts of service and receiving gifts. And loving words actually turn her stomach. We were out for lunch recently to celebrate her birthday, and when I gave her a pair of opal earrings, I noticed that they matched her eyes. And I told her this, and her eyes suddenly glazed over, and she was emotionally out to lunch. That small verbal affirmation was revolting to her. I should have just stuck with the gift and put a sock in my mouth. I have a couple, too. I'm seeing now they're in a mess over their differing love languages. She mows the lawn for him and rakes the leaves, all acts of service, when what he wants is physical touch. and her sitting across the room rather than beside him on the couch made him feel unloved and rejected. And he eventually took his marbles, literally and figuratively, and ran away from home. And by having affair after affair, he was searching for love in all the wrong places. By clarifying his love language, we were able to help his wife see that she could just stop raking and start snuggling. And they're getting along so much better as a result of this realization. So what I'm talking about here is living according to what I call the platinum rule, not the golden rule. In relationships, the platinum rule rules. Do unto your partner as he or she would have you do unto him or her. This means if your partner likes physical touch, touch him or her. But don't shower him or her with love talk. And if you like words, let your partner write you a sonnet. You know, it's interesting. Dr. Chapman discovered that for most couples, their love languages do not match. And it says on his website, he doesn't know why this is. It just is. Well, I'm going to tell you, I think I know why this is the case. It comes down to those proverbial old scars. Because by choosing someone who doesn't speak your love language, you end up feeling unloved and deprived like when you were a kid. And then you repeat your old scar rather than healing it. But have no fear. Once you make the commitment to enter into a conscious relationship and work actively to help each other heal your old scars, your differing love languages will no longer be a source of pain. Instead, you're going to embrace your differences and you're going to offer each other your needed corrective emotional experiences, meaning you're going to become the healing, loving parents that you lacked as kids. And by learning each other's love language and speaking the language that talks to each other's hearts, your old scars are really going to heal and your relationship is going to bloom. So remember to avoid this deadly relationship roadblock and live according to the platinum rule and do unto your partner as he or she wishes you to do unto him or her. And the bottom line is this. The better you know your partner's love language and the more you speak that language to him or her, the happier your partner is going to be with you. Now, when your partner feels fed by you, you know what's going to happen, right? Your partner is going to want to give back to you, meaning your partner is going to be motivated to speak your love language in return. And following this rule and loving your partner according to his or her preferred love language is the key to you getting back your own love language feeding and relationship bliss all around. All righty. Let me give you a couple of tweets and then we'll take a little break. Here's one tweet. Learn the love language that speaks to your beloved's heart and your love will never fall apart. Here's another. If your beloved's love language is quality time, there's no need to give a present. Instead, try being emotionally present. Knowing that your love languages differ is your key to perfectly loving her. Don't leave love to whim. Learning his love language will teach you how to properly love him. Does talk make him balk? Is physical touch what she loves so much? Would you rather skip all the chatter because for you, actions are what matter? Does he or she want a hug or a rub? Learning each other's love language is more than a love bandage. And here, drumroll please, the last one. For him, does nothing say more about your lovin' than a hot bun in the oven? Oh my God, this sounds like a Pillsbury ad. All right, I'm going to take a little break, and I will be right back in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you like what you're hearing, you can learn about Dr. Turndorf's techniques for turning conflict into connection and healing in her critically acclaimed, groundbreaking book, Till Death Do Us Part, Unless I Kill You First, a step-by-step guide for resolving relationship conflict. Find out more about this book and read a free excerpt by visiting AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. And if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. This show is for you, the listeners, so please give her a call now. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it's my pleasure to be with you again today. You know, last week, while I was speaking with you, my engineer, Dan, sent me a little message saying that somebody wanted to have my phone number in order to do a private consultation with me. And it occurred to me that that person might have been afraid to call in. You know, they say that the number one fear is public speaking, and people, I think, would prefer to get a root canal or a visit to a proctologist than to expose themselves publicly. And it is very difficult for people to expose themselves. So I just want you to know that you can absolutely feel comfortable calling and give a fake name. That's absolutely fine as well. And no one will know. You can even disguise your voice. It'll be as confidential as if you were talking to me in my office and we were one-on-one. All right, so here's a question that I wanted to hear. Oh, I said Dan. He just wrote to me. See, I'm just losing my marbles. His name is Dave, not Dan. And I do want to correct it, because I know he's Dave. But you know what? I got a really bad headache today. Sorry, Dave. Sorry about that. Anyway, here's a question. Hard truths. Hello. Dear Dr. Love, which of these two hard truths is better to tell your husband, who does not want and even think that there's need to be passionate after 7 years of marriage? The fact that I'm still in love with him and crazy about him, and I wish to be cherished by him, but I never feel truly that I am loved by him, or the fact that an ex-lover is still in love and crazy about me, hunting me, wanting me, and he's not afraid to show this. Thank you so much. Hope my English is good. Your English is just fine. Now listen, you presented two options. Either tell your husband that you're crazy for him, or attempt to make him jealous over your ex-lover, hoping that that'll plump up his passion for you. Well, I don't like games, so I rule out the second option. And I always vote for being open-hearted. So the first option wins hands down for me. Okay, but we need to be sure that you present your feelings in a way that doesn't come off as complaining. If you're familiar with what I call fight traps, you know that when many women feel frustrated in their relationships, they fall into a very dysfunctional fight trap that I call the three Scrooges: nagging, whining, and complaining. Now, of course, when a man feels blamed and criticized for what he's not doing right, he transforms into a turtle and retreats into his shell. And when a guy battens down the hatches and goes into survival mode to protect his ego and other vital bodily parts from assault, you aren't going to spark his passion. My book, Till Death Do Us Part, is going to be very helpful to you in guiding you on how to talk to him so that he wants to hear and respond to your needs. Now, obviously, I can't condense the entire book into this short answer, but I am going to tell you that you need to use my XY formula, which is my proven way of presenting any issue. Using this formula, you're going to tell him in a cool, non-attacking way what's happening. That's X. And how you feel about it, that's Y. And then you're going to finish the XY formula with your suggestion for the future. Before I show you how all this would sound in your case, I want you to be very clear on what you're looking for. Keep in mind that men need concrete suggestions. Never forget, I was watching a stand-up comic, and he said, why can't my wife come with a teleprompter that's on the top of her head that just tells me from moment to moment what she needs me to do, what she wants me to say? I want to please her. I just don't have a clue. So guys need concrete suggestions. And when you say you want passion, it's just too vague. When a man hears a general request for passion or anything else, he starts to sweat, not because he's turned on, but because he's failing you in some way and doesn't have a clue how to make it better. Does passion mean more sex, longer foreplay, more orgasms for you? When a guy feels inadequate to please the woman he loves, he becomes even more upset, and he either flees to escape the discomfort or behaves in a defensive way to cover his feelings of inadequacy. So to get around this entire mess, a woman needs to give her guy clear behavioral instructions. So in your case, you need to spell out what passion means to you. When you speak of passion, are you talking about the physical expressions of love like kissing, hugging, or handholding? Or are you talking about sex? Or are you talking about romance, such as wining, dining, flowers, chocolates, gifts? My point is, you first need to clarify your own love language, and you need to clarify this for yourself, and then communicate what specific actions will register as passionate for you. Now, once you're clear on what you want, then you can talk to him. Now, your ex-wife's statement to him would sound something like this. I'm going to be you now. Honey, you know, after all these years, I still love you and I'm crazy for you. In order to keep my passion for you going strong, I need periodic booster shots from you. If you could say, now here's where you say what sparks passion for you, and fill that in. If you could say or do from time to time, that would really make me happy. Okay? Now, I want you to know, when a man loves a woman, he wants to please her. And he's thrilled when she gives him the blueprint for making her happy. Okay, my book is going to further guide you on how to master this formula and more. And among other things, it's going to show you how to work magic on a highly defensive and unresponsive partner so that he's going to want to listen and work with you. So let me know how you make out. And yes, I'm thinking that passionate making out is in the cards for you very soon. And I want to hear that. All right. Here's another question that I selected. Breakup is what it's called. I'm 24 years old, a nurse, but I'm not practicing my profession because I'm helping out my parents' business. So here's the thing. I just broke up with my boyfriend 4 days ago. We've been together for 8 months, and I've broken up with him a lot of times, but we ended up together again each time. Now I've decided to break up with him because I don't think my family will accept him. He has a son already, he hasn't graduated college, and doesn't have a job. I'm also worried about my future if I end up being with him. Problem is, I'm in love with him, and I know he loves me, and we never had an issue about being unfaithful to each other. I really am confused, because a part of me wants to be with him, and a part of me doesn't want it. It's a mind versus heart issue. I hope you can enlighten me, and thank you so much. And she signs this, Tears in the Park. Oh, well, I'm going to give you a tissue. Listen, I hear that you speak each other's love language, but this really isn't enough in all cases because you describe being very different in terms of your educational level and your level of income. Now, if you've been reading my columns for a while, you know that something called homogamy or similarity is linked to couple satisfaction and marital satisfaction too. On the homogamy front, you and your guy rate very low. Non-homogamy in some areas hardly matter. So it hardly matters. For example, if one of you likes Thai food and the other doesn't, so what? But when you don't match, when you're not similar in terms of education or income, this could be a great problem. Now, it happens often enough that men are more educated and earn more than women, but this is part of the natural gender differences. You know, in the gender difference, men tend to earn more. They tend to be the providers. So if they have more education or they earn more and a woman has less education and earns less, that disparity is more culturally acceptable. But when the reverse occurs and women earn more or are more educated than the man, this often doesn't work. Now, you're already questioning whether you could be comfortable with this disparity, and your doubts are already telling you it's a problem and they're not going to go away. But now, I was wondering what if he were working? Would you feel less of an imbalance? And then I started wondering, why isn't he working? Is this situational, or is he the kind of person who has no drive and ambition? And is his lack of education another symptom of his lack of drive? Well, if you haven't already done so, I invite you to sign up for my free newsletter. With the newsletter, you can download, also for free, 11 workbooks and tests. Now, one of these tests is called Are We Compatible? Now, this test is going to help you get an accurate read on your level of homogamy, and it's also going to assess your level of compatibility in all the other areas that count. So I also suggest that you test his readiness for a relationship using my Is Your Partner Ready for Love test. And this test, Is He Ready for Love, is 66 questions that assess all your partner's areas of functioning to help you determine if the person has more baggage than you can or should handle. And while you're at it, why not use my Create-A-Mate guide for you? Because this guide is going to allow you to flesh out your ideal partner. And then you're going to be able to see how closely this guy matches your ideal. And after you use my assessment tools, you're going to be able to join your mind and your heart, and you're going to be able to decide whether you're meant to be with this man or not. And I really wish you good luck, because this is a heart-wrenching decision. You love him. I know you do. But you may not be suitable as partners. All right, so do your testing, and then you will know. All right, let me just take a little break. And when I return, we're going to do another question. Be right back on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you've recently been through a breakup and are looking for a second chance, wondering how you can reconcile with your ex, or if it's even possible after all you've been through, Dr. Turndorf's latest book, Make Up, Don't Break Up, presents her five-step plan for reconciling with your ex. This plan was developed out of years of research, working with thousands of couples at her Center for Emotional Communication. This is a proven no-hype and no-nonsense method that gets right to the root of the problem to guide you to the right path towards reigniting a lasting relationship. For more about Make Up, Don't Break Up, visit AskDrLove.com. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. With me, who's not totally on top of her game today, because I got a headache, but I still like being with you all the same. So here's a question that came in. What is he trying to say? And my heart really goes out to this young woman, because this guy is giving her a big run for her money. Listen up. Dear Dr. Love, I'd like to know what this guy is trying to tell me. His attitude was really confusing lately. He's my church friend, and he was really nice to me. He helped me, sat next to me, goofed around, and comforted me when I told him that I'm worried about my university entrance exams. He also complimented my mom's cooking, because my mom cooked the food for the Christmas celebration. When we were making food at a friend's house, he complimented me for being good at making sushi and asked me to help him make a sushi. He sat next to me almost for the whole time. Sometimes he also teased me, because when I said, "My mom's gonna kill me," he said, "Yeah? When she kills you, she's gonna cook you into that yummy chicken she made last time." And while we were playing board games, he complimented me again, like, "Wow, you're good." The next day, he just ignored me for no reason. At the New Year's party, there's a friend, a guy, who is actually almost like a brother to me, who hugged me because we won the game. When I hugged that guy, I saw him looking at us, but then I just looked away. FYI, in our group of people, girls and guys don't really hug each other unless they're in relationships or families. When I was talking to his friend, a girl, who came to town to visit him, he suddenly came to us and started talking to this girl. And he said, "You should stay at my friend's place. It's dangerous to take the train at the moment. There will be a lot of drunk people, but don't worry, I'll walk you there." He also looked at me because I stared at him while he said that, since I have to take the train to go home, and he knows that. But when I looked at him, he didn't say anything but kept talking to that girl and then walked away. And then, when I was talking to my own friends, he suddenly came and started singing, rapping a song from a video that we watched while we were making sushi. He put a bottle of water on the table next to me. He stood between me and my friend while we were talking, kind of annoying, actually, and then he stood next to me. He didn't say anything but started looking around and talking to some friends. Last Sunday after church, he asked me if I had changed. At that time, he still looked into my eyes as usual, and he still smiled at me. At coffee and snacks time, the guy was standing behind me, and then an adult man who was kind of close to this guy asked me, "Why aren't you eating anything?" I answered, No, I'm still full, maybe later. And then this man continued, do you want him to take the food for you? While he pointed at this guy, I said, no, it's okay, with a smile. And this guy just laughed like a dork. Ha, ha, ha. I didn't see his expression, though, because I was facing my best friend and I was trying to avoid awkwardness. Not long after that, the guy sat next to me. I was being nice and asked him some questions. He did answer me, but he avoided eye contact. Do you know why this guy is behaving like this? Is he giving me a sign that he's not interested in me and only sees me as a friend? To be honest, I do have feelings for him. Both of us are 19. I'm 4 months older than him. Thank you for your answer. Signed, a confused and curious girl. Well, I think the biggest problem is you're 4 months older than him. No, seriously. I get why you can't figure this guy out, because his behavior is inconsistent, to say the least. And if I understand the sequence of events, he came in close, then he ignored you the next day. And you said that he had no good reason to ignore you, but you got to keep in mind the psyche has many layers, and oftentimes the layers are in conflict. You know, we're at war even within ourselves, and we're never of one mind. We're always in conflict with these different aspects of what the unconscious wants, what we consciously want. So he can like you with all his heart, and I believe he does. But on another level, I think he's utterly scared. And you should know that many people are terrified of getting too close to another person. Fear of intimacy, fear of being engulfed, fear of rejection, fear of abandonment. These are just some of the reasons for fear. And I also sense that he isn't sure that you like him. When you hug that other guy in front of him, something that people in your group don't do unless they're a couple or family members, your actions sent out confusing signals to him. And I even think he's grabbing at straws to try to get you jealous. Notice the way he offered to help that other girl right under your nose. I bet he was hoping to get a rise out of you, and that would have shown him that you care for him. If you like this guy, I think your next move is to clear up the confusion and let him know that you like him. Now, there are various ways to do this, ranging from open, approachable body language, smiles, making eye contact, briefly touching his shoulder, asking him interested questions, laughing at his jokes, to direct verbal communication in which you tell him that you like him and that you want to see him more. Now, I know you may think that men are the aggressors and they're the ones who make the first move, but all the observational social scientific research shows this is not the case. It turns out that men are dreadfully frightened of being rejected, and that when we observe them in social situations with women, they do not approach a woman until the woman has given him numerous green lights, which is this open, approachable body language that tells them they are welcome to approach, and they don't do the approach until the woman gives clear signals. And it's also said, in research shows, that men find it difficult to read women's signals because women send off far too subtle signals that pass over guys' heads, okay? So you've got to make that green light, those green lights shine more, okay? And that way, he will know he's not going to be rejected if he makes his move, because he's got to know you like him for sure. So give this dear boy green lights, give him a nudge, and take him out of his own and your misery. All right, let me know what happens. I really have a good feeling about this. So now here's another question that came in. All right, hey, Dr. Love, I've been in a wonderful relationship for about 2 months with a young lady that I find attractive, smart, and funny. All the qualities a man could want, and we have done everything a male and female could do with the exception of penis to vagina sex. The problem is every time we start to begin the process, I lose my erection. I really like this girl. I'm tempted to say that I love her, but I know that she is just as frustrated as I am about the lack of an erection when it is time to do the deed. I don't know why this is going on with me. I'm not a virgin. and I had sex with no complications in the last 3 months. Please tell me something. I feel like I may lose her. Okay, listen, I do understand why you're so upset. And I have the impression that there's a link between the strike your penis is on and the feelings you have for this woman. The fact that you were able to function with other women who you didn't care so much about, and that you can't function with a woman who you do care so much about, is significant. Now, notice the language that you use to describe your feelings for her. It's as if you are reluctant to admit that you love her. You sound hesitant. Then consider what's happening with your penis. He has serious hesitation too. You will be on the path to solving your erectile problem when you get in touch with why you are afraid to love. Think of it this way. Your penis is now sending out smoke signals, symbolic communication, if you will. When you get in touch with your feelings on this subject and begin to work them through, your penis won't need to send out danger flares. So figure out why love is scary. Read through my advice archives for ideas, which may range from fear of intimacy, fear of commitment, fear of abandonment, fear of being swallowed up or engulfed, which is the technical term. Now, I promise that the problem can be resolved, but make sure that you don't add insult to injury by now becoming all worried and developing erectile dysfunction. Now, I also want you to read Till Death Do Us Part, because Till Death describes every old scar and then explains how each old scar resurfaces in your adult relationships, and it shows you how to use your relationship to heal your old scars. So I want you to chill out about this temporary problem. And if you get your knickers in a knot, your penis is going to get into a knot too. And it's going to malfunction simply because the chemical associated with worry are incompatible with the chemicals required to become erect. So you need to tell yourself, and your girlfriend will also need to tell you, it's all right if you don't get hard. And again, read my archives on this subject as well, and explain to her that worrying about whether you get hard and worrying about whether she will be upset is enough to get you down and keep you down. So keep me posted on your penis's progress, and I know you're going to be making progress. All right, so that's all I have for you today on Ask Dr. Love Radio, and what I want you to do is really, really master your love language. Become clear on what yours is, be clear on what your partner's is, and then make it a point of speaking each other's love language, feeding each other. That's what it's about. Feeding each other, you will make your relationship soar. You will be healing your old wounds, giving each other the love and attention and affirmation you didn't get enough of as a kid. You'll be healing old wounds, which is going to help your adult relationship just go so much better. All right, so that's all I have for you on Ask Dr. Love Radio, and I'll be with you again next week. Take care for now.